Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we'll be going over our week 3 slate of games. A lot of good action in the CSFL and the MSFL. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. First game of the weekend, we're going to start with Stack at Alderson Brodus. Alderson Brodus wins this one 23-13. My player of the game in this one is sophomore defensive lineman Zachary Allison. He finished the game with 8 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Alderson Brodus manages to get their first win of the season. So I know emotions are really, really high over there. Alderson Brodus had to battle back from a halftime deficit in this one. They were down 10-7 after the break. And, you know, they just had to fight their way back in this one. Definitely a really good game when you consider the fact that just last week in week 2, St. Thomas Aquinas beat Penn in their first game of the season. First time those two programs matched up. First time St. Thomas Aquinas has gotten a win over Penn. So that's a really, really big deal whenever the Division IIs, you know, are able to knock off one of the 4 traditional powerhouses of the league. So I know they were high coming into this one. And for Alderson Brodus to knock them off just 1 week later shows you the parity that's in the league. You know, I've beat that dead horse a bunch of times now, but it definitely goes to show that the level of competition is, you know, as balanced as it's been. You know, there's still a hierarchy, but it's definitely not what it was, you know, even just like 6 or 7 years ago. Obviously, there's way more teams now, but in a whole nother league. But just the parity in the league is great. You know, it's nice to know that each week, any given week, you have that, you know, any given Friday and any given Saturday type of feel. You know, we see it in FBS all the time. You know, just over this weekend, top 4 teams are getting pushed, you know, to the edge, you know, rankings, 7s losing to unranked, 10s losing to lower ranks. So you get a lot of that in the CSFL now, which is really great for the game, really great for the teams, really great for all parties involved. So again, the fact that Alderson Brodus could knock off Stack just 1 week removed from Stack knocking off Penn is just great for the league and all the teams involved. So as we go back into the game, how did Alderson Brodus take this one away from St. Thomas Aquinas? Sophomore wide receiver Blake Baxter, who's been one of the high-impact players for AB this season, he scored the only receiving touchdown of the night from senior quarterback Tim Tillman. Blake Baxter also took a 75-yard kick return to the house, which gave Alderson Brodus all the momentum, and they kind of just rode it out from there. Freshman running back Isaiah Smith, who got the most playing time in his young career, he had 97 yards on the ground. Every time he touched the rock, it looked like he was getting 7-8 yards to carry. So he's definitely going to be, I think he's earned, you know, some consistent touches from the offensive Alderson Brodus offensive coaches. Definitely did not see him in some previous games, or we saw him very sparingly. He's definitely going to be a guy who they should continue to rely on as they try and, you know, make it 2 wins in a row next week. On the defensive side of the ball, like I said, my player of the game is sophomore defensive lineman Zachary Allison. 8 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack. Just absolutely lived in the St. Thomas Aquinas backfield. Again, a week removed from their game against Penn, they were running the rock really well, slinging the ball all over with their new sophomore quarterback. So for Allison to really get back there and have an impact, you know, shows the type of player that he can be. Freshman defensive lineman Kenyatta Green also added 8 tackles for loss with 1.5 tackles for loss. So Alderson Brodus definitely did have a balanced game. Definitely saw some good things from their usual suspects with their linebackers, Gittins and Dunkel as well. Didn't have, you know, the most tackles on the night, but they definitely were flying around, laying big hits, laying the wood, and making it happen for their defense. So Alderson Brodus gets their first win of the season. Next week, they hit the road to go visit Army at West Point. Flip side of this, we got St. Thomas Aquinas. Again, had the early lead, but couldn't hold off a resilient Alderson Brodus team. Things started off good for Stack. You know, they blocked a punt, ended up covering it in the end zone for 6. But that would be the last, you know, really big impact moment for St. Thomas Aquinas in the game. Sophomore quarterback Ryan Kenny did not finish the game, unfortunately. We hope he's okay and he'll be able to bounce back next week. Junior wide receiver Jaden Bennerman, who is a converted quarterback his first year in the league, he's also the team's punter, Had to take over the reins at quarterback. Again, when you ask a guy who probably hasn't consistently thrown the football in over a year, year and a half now, to go in is, you know, going to be climbing an uphill, you know, fighting an uphill battle in that one. But he did, you know, did what he could, you know, in terms of service, had a lot of good rushes, and they were driving for a while. And just ultimately, you know, again, when you have a guy who's your backup quarterback who plays a different position, he's just not going to be able to make consistent throws, not just not getting enough reps at it. He's getting most of his reps at wide receiver. So big ups to him for coming in a pinch. But, you know, fortunately, he wasn't able to get the job done. Despite the struggles at quarterback, wide receiver Hassan Blakeney was the impact player on offense. He finished with 7 receptions for 92 yards. Blakeney is one of the best wide receivers in the CSFL in spring football. So you'd expect to see him to continue to produce no matter who's back there at quarterback, and he did just that. Defensive side of things for Stack, senior linebacker Sharif Bate tried to keep his team in the game. He had 5 tackles, 2 of those being tackles for loss. But ultimately, again, just wasn't enough there for St. Thomas Aquinas to hold this one out. A couple of their other big-time players didn't really have the statistical impact you would have hoped as a team in this one. For them to secure the game, you know, in these type of tight games, high-emotional games, you do need your best players to make plays. Sometimes it's play calling, but, you know, as a coach, I know all too well, it's, you know, X's and O's only get you so far as Jimmy's and Joe's. So, you know, coaches coach, players play. And unfortunately for St. Thomas Aquinas, some of their best players did not have the impact you would expect for the names that they carry and the statistical production that they've had over their careers. So hopefully they can get it back rolling next week. Stack hits the road again for the 2nd road game in a row. This time they're going up to visit Mansfield. All right, next up we have Army versus Penn. Penn won this one. Excuse me, Army won this one. 42-0. My player of the game in this one is Army junior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie. He finished the game with 303 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. Army started out with a quick 3-and-out, and then after that, they just kept the ball rolling. Couldn't really be stopped by the Penn defense. Again, Mikhail Wilkie's 303 yards, 4 touchdowns are both career highs for the young quarterback. Definitely a guy who has improved over last year. I think I mentioned it before, he took over the reins from Army's last quarterback last year, who wasn't really effective throwing the ball. He took over the reins 2nd quarter of the championship game last year, and it's clear he's done nothing but continue to improve since then. Definitely a good throw of the football. You know, with that offense, sometimes they've had quarterbacks who, you know, quite frankly, aren't that good. They just, you know, put the ball in the receiver's hands and let them run tunnel screens and whatnot. But Wilkie is not one of those guys. Wilkie is a dude who can really throw the rock. Seen him make throws at all 3 levels. And, you know, the padding of the stats there isn't really too egregious with him. He really makes, like, a lot of good football throws. He isn't one of the guys like they've had who could only throw left or right and just game manage. You know, he's going to be a big-time quarterback, and he's proven that week in and week out. It was really nothing the Penn defense could do to stop, you know, him in terms of throwing the rock. Senior wide receiver Donovan Mannion finished the night with 5 receptions, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Mannion continues to prove he is one of the best wide receivers in the CSFL. Definitely one of my favorite players to watch. It's clear they favor him when throwing the rock in terms of play calling. He's, you know, one of the best offensive players in the league, period. Should definitely be a guy who, at this point in the season, is in the MVP race. You know, obviously, sometimes, you know, you'll get quarterbacks favored in those races. But I think, again, Wilkie is talented, but I definitely think having Mannion makes a big, big difference. If they didn't have Mannion, some of the numbers would definitely not be as prolific. And he opens things up for other guys. Like, for instance, junior wide receiver Trey Carson finished the night with a career high 6 receptions, career high 122 yards, excuse me, career high was with the yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Carson is a you know, good enough, decent wide receiver, but he's definitely not Mannion. So he's definitely benefiting from the impact Mannion has in terms of attention and production. So he's definitely one of the best players in the league and should definitely be in that MVP or offensive player conversation by the end of the season. on the defensive side of the ball, despite all that offense, on the defensive side of the ball is probably where the biggest impact in the game came from. Army finished the game with 14 sacks and 24 tackles for loss. That's crazy. Definitely good defensive players on Army. Do not get me wrong. Junior defensive lineman Ryan Rast had the biggest game of his career. He had 12 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks. His 4 sacks are definitely up there in terms of sacks for a game in CSFL history. I got to check. I think in my time, there's a bunch of guys who have 4 sacks and like 5 sacks. I think 4 sacks, my time for third with like, you know, 6 or 7 other guys. I'll double check at the end of this. Junior linebacker Michael Sullivan had 3.5 tackles for loss, 11 straight tackles, and 2 sacks. And star defensive lineman Brendan Windsor, one of my favorite players to watch in the league, 6 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. So just between those three dudes, you got, 4, 7, 10. Just between those three dudes, you got, 11 tackles for loss and 6.5 sacks. That's crazy. And they weren't the only two to have multiple sacks and multiple tackles for loss. Like, again, great defensive players on that Army defense, but not so much that every single one of them is like a first-team all-league guy. That's crazy. That's definitely a big letdown by the Penn offensive line or the game plan. Like, 14 sacks is crazy. Like, I don't remember the last time a team had 14 sacks. 24 tackles for loss is like, you get it. You know, maybe your offensive line can't, you know, stuff. Maybe running backs aren't hitting the hole, but 14 sacks is wild. Like, no other team had gave up that many sacks this weekend. And in watching the game, it didn't seem like they were doing anything overly complicated. Like, they were just rushing 6 and 7. We're rushing our 4. We're sending both outside backers off the edge. And it's like Penn just did not adjust, you know, to that all game. I didn't see a lot of stunts. I didn't see a lot of eat stunts, tie stunts. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see a lot of loop around stuff. It was just we rushing. I saw a lot of Mike backer blitzes up the A and outside linebackers coming off the edge and then just beating y'all with 4. Like, that's crazy. Like, 14 sacks is wild. Even when Cornell gave up like 70 plus points a couple weeks ago, I don't think they had 14 sacks. Like, that's crazy. But, you know, just shows how, you know, effective the Army defense can be and, you know, how good they're going to be for the rest of the season. And Penn just did not have any answers for Army in terms of their defensive front 7. Army heads back home next week to take on Alderson Brodus. I believe that might be Alderson Brodus' first time up there. I'm not sure. Other side of this thing, again, Penn did not manage to put up any points, which is a big deal. That offense always usually manages to get something. Senior quarterback Andrew Paolini threw 180 yards and no touchdowns with 1 interception. Again, in regards to the 14 sacks, again, offensive line did not do him any favors. But there were some plays where Paolini just flat out like held on to the ball too long. Like, that's one thing that, you know, is definitely noticeable in my time in spring football is a lot of their plays are slow developing, like deep ball plays. I actually coached with a former player of their head coach now, who was a long time offensive coordinator. I coached with one of his former quarterbacks when he was in high school, and he was, you know, this offensive coordinator was coaching in high school. I coached with him at LaSalle, and we talk about, you know, he asked me all the time, like, you know, how he ran a lot of those plays. Like, he ran a lot of the same stuff. And he would tell me, like, a lot of that stuff is just, like, long developing, like, deep down the field stuff. And, you know, you need pass protection if you're going to be taking shots a lot. So they definitely did not have that there. And Paolini, you know, offensive line didn't do him any favors. But sometimes you just got to let that thing go and put it up or throw it out of bounds. Like, get it out of there. Like, you can't always afford to take the sacks because now, you know, we can work with 2nd and 10, but 2nd and 15, well, now we ain't got no choice but to either run it short, which wasn't really working, or pass it again. Then, bang, we get another sack. Now it's 3rd and 18. You know, now we don't got no choice but to throw it deep again. So, definitely not a well-oiled game plan in terms of attacking or making an adjustment, you know, to that defense in terms of just the pressure they were they were getting after Paolini. So definitely hope they can fix that in the coming weeks. You know, Andrew is one of the best quarterbacks in the CSFL and spring football in as a whole. So you definitely want to see him, you know, have more of an impact. Again, still threw for 180 yards. Jake Wang looked impressive. And Brennan Graves continues to prove that he's going to be one of the most effective wide receivers for his career. He finished the game with 3 receptions for 73 yards. But again, ultimately, it did not result in any points. They did have 2 touchdowns get called back, to be fair. I think both were on holding. You know, I think he did hit Graves in the end zone for one, came back. And then Paolini took one in himself as a rush, and then that came back. So, did manage to score, but ultimately they were wiped away, unfortunately, for the Penn offense. Running the ball definitely didn't really help much. And again, they really just abused some of the Penn offensive players. Freshman running back Levi Gaines struggled in pass protection. I remember one play in particular where junior linebacker Luke Gigliotti just blitzed up the A-gap and, like, smashed that kid. Like, it definitely showed that he was a freshman out there. He just didn't have a beef to stand up to some of those linebackers coming, you know, full speed, you know, downhill, full throttle. And he himself gave up, you know, 1 or 2 sacks on Paolini, you know, because he couldn't pick up some of those backers blitzing. So hopefully you see him improve from this. Again, just is a freshman, but, you know, definitely something he's going to have to work on if he wants to be one of the better running backs in the CSFL. On the defensive side of the ball, linebacker Charles Taukes had his second game in a row with 10-plus tackles. He finished with 10 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Definitely a very, very impressive young guy. Penn continues to get good linebackers, and my hole was this year 6. Was year 7 involved in spring football, from J.J. to Lewis Evans, Aaron Johnson, Sam Biddy, long ago, Jake and Sierra just last year. So it looks like they have another really good young linebacker on their hands. So it'll be fun to watch him develop and continue to grow. And he appears to be one of the best players on this defense, you know, already, despite only being a freshman. Penn heads back home next week to host Chestnut Hill in a Philadelphia matchup at Franklin Field. Next up, we have Mansfield versus Cornell. Mansfield wins this one 42-14. My player of the game is sophomore quarterback Cassid Raymond. Cassid finished with 244 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 28 rushing yards. Mansfield came out really hot in this one, and just ultimately Cornell defense really couldn't do much to limit Mansfield from doing anything, really. Again, Cassid had a really, really good game, 244 for 3. Young quarterback definitely showed how much better of a passer he's become. There were opportunities there for him to run the rock. But, you know, he definitely stayed in the pocket, like, deliberately a lot more. You could see it in terms of him looking down the field. It did have, like, 1 or 2 big runs get called back. You know, 28 yards isn't really indicative of how effective he was running the ball. If those 2 runs, you know, 1 or 2 runs stayed in, he probably would have been closer to, like, 60 or 70 rushing yards. But ultimately, you could tell he made a deliberate effort to push the ball down the field, which ultimately is going to pay big dividends for this offense in the future whenever there is a game that the running game isn't clicking. He's definitely showing he can be an effective thrower of the football. Freshman running back Audie McCree found the end zone 3 times. The young freshman, probably his biggest day of his young career, finished with 47 rushing yards with 2 rushing touchdowns. Then he had 3 receptions for 34 yards and a receiving touchdown. Again, McCary is part of a big recruiting class for Mansfield in terms of 4 or 5 guys they got all the way from Texas. So that is a long trip from, not sure where they are in Texas, but just Texas to upper northern PA is a long, long trip. But you know, he's a part of that heralded class that they got, you know, group of guys that got from Texas. So it's good to see him make an impact in his young career. Defensive side of the ball, freshman linebacker Bobby Dell led the way for the Mountaineers with 8 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. Mansfield heads back home next week as they welcome St. Thomas Aquinas. Other side, we got Cornell. Really couldn't do much in this game, even when they did move the ball and did put up two touchdowns, it really came against Mansfield's second and third stringers. So maybe a little bit misleading in terms of their total offensive yards and the 14 points, to be honest. Senior quarterback Xavier Martinez had one of the best games of his career, throwing for 208 yards, two touchdowns with one interception. This is the second game ever for the quarterback with 200 plus yards. Definitely a guy, when I saw that he was transferring in, that I definitely thought was going to be maybe more of the Rob Polamalu mold. Really, really good quarterback they had a few years ago. He, you know, for those who don't know, Martinez walked on at, I think it was at Oklahoma. Walked on as a true walk-on, made the team there. Spent some time there with that football program before he ultimately decided to transfer to Cornell. But it definitely has not translated. Again, there's a lack of talent on the roster. You know, definitely is something you got to take into consideration. But really hasn't, you know, made it happen the way you would expect a quarterback of that prestige, of that pedigree, you know, coming into the league. So, you know, he's a guy who could make or break their team if he can play a little bit better. But again, second game at 200 plus yards is something to be, you know, hopeful for. Maybe you could string together a couple games like this. But, you know, that remains to be seen, you know, for Cornell for the rest of the season. Senior wide receiver Colton Kotecki has some big chunk plays as a kick returner. Again, had a lot of kick return to run back because they couldn't really stop the Mansfield offense. So, again, total yardage might be a little bit misleading, but he did have one or two big, big returns. And then he also led the team in receiving yards with two receptions for 56 yards. Defensively, again, not much there. A lot of it could be considered, you know, garbage time, you know, statistics. Junior linebacker Will Anderson made 13 tackles, one tackle for loss, and a half a sack. And junior linebacker Billy Turner added 11 tackles, half a tackle for loss, and half a sack. Again, those two were two of the only statistical impactful players for the Cornell defense. Next week, Cornell has another tough one as they hit the road to go visit Navy in Annapolis. Last CSFL matchup of the weekend. This was our Saturday slated game. Other three games were on Friday afternoon and Friday night. Navy visited Caldwell. Navy took this one 26-13. My player of the game in this one is senior running back Alex Tata, who finished with 283 rushing yards, two touchdowns, two receptions for 20 yards. Excuse me. Navy took this one, a bad weather game. Rain wasn't, you know, as monsoonish as we expected on the East Coast, but definitely, you know, impacted the game. But Navy won this one relying on their run game and their strong defense, like they've had relied on, you know, three games so far this season. Passing game continues to be a secondary role, play a secondary role for this Navy offense. Junior quarterback Brandon Atwood threw for 101 yards with one interception. Atwood has yet to throw for over 150 yards this season. His most yards he has, I think it was 145 or 147 against Chestnut Hill in the first game of the year. You know, they're definitely going to look to get him going. You know, they're always going to be a run-first team, but Atwood is, and at least showed last year, he could be very, very effective throwing the football. But it just hasn't clicked the way that they've hoped this season. You know, you would hope they can get it rolling a little bit better because they do have a really, really good receiver in Andrew Margiotta. So definitely a connection I'm hoping can, you know, fix these kinks so you can really see this offense really, really flourish, you know, in the future. But where they continue to shine is obviously the run game. As I said, senior star running back Alex Tota had a record-setting day. He finished, again, with 283 rushing yards. That is crazy. The 283 are actually the third most rushing yards in a game ever in CSFL history. Third most rushing yards in a game ever. Historic night for the star senior. I think I said it last week. You know, he's had some good games this year, a 97er, I think a 70-yarder, but I called it last week. I said he's going to string together some more good games, but eventually he was going to break for, you know, a huge, huge game. Couldn't have guessed third most rushing yards ever in a game, but, you know, that's right up his alley. You know, he's been that type of player since his freshman season, so it was just a matter of time before he cemented himself, you know, up there with some of the best running backs, you know, in Sprint football history. And this game definitely solidifies that and, you know, certifies that. His 283 yards are also the second most rushing yards in a game in Navy history. And they have a very, very strong tradition at running back, at Eric Willimon, a David Williams, a Brennan Clements, a Caleb Champion, a Matthew McGee, who he played with last year. I think he also would have played with Champion. I think he'd have been a freshman when Champion was a senior. So lots of tradition at that position. And, you know, he just continues to prove that he's as good as any of those guys. You know, still a couple games to go. Still going to have time to add to his totals. He might not touch, like, some of the upper, you know, touchdown totals or yardage totals. But I don't know that any of those dudes are that much better than him. Like, you have strength of the league and, you know, some coaches in their past were more willing to feed their guys. Some coaches were more everybody eats. But tonight was definitely, they were featuring Tota, which I think they should do more often in terms of, like, just feeding your guys, especially your seniors. Like, there's been games in the past, you know, when I was playing or before me, where I'd be like, damn, like, this dude could have had a record-setting night, and the game wasn't so out of touch that you had to take him out the game. But I definitely, as a former player and a coach now, like, I want my guys to eat. Like, those are memories that they'll have forever. And this 283-yard game is a game that will literally go down in history. Like, not just at that school, but, like, in the league's history. That is one of the greatest rushing performances ever in a league that's coming up on 100 years old. Like, that's ridiculous. So, big ups to him and the performance that he put on for the Navy offense. And they also got the win. Defensive side of the ball, just a lot of guys making plays. They blocked the field goal early, scooped that up, scored 2 points. Very rare, very weird, or uncommon. I shouldn't say weird, should say uncommon for that to happen. So that definitely was a good sign of things to come for the Navy defense. Junior linebacker Jack Costagan led the team in tackles. He had 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Definitely a guy who's really, really popped out this year. You know, played a lot last year, but he's proven to be one of the better linebackers in the CSFL this season. So he's definitely going to be a threat to be a 10-tackle guy every game. And sophomore linebacker Major Kent followed up with 9 tackles, 1 TFL, and 1 sack. And Kent is also, you know, showing a lot of, you know, good performances, showing a lot of production for this Navy defense. He's slowly turning into one of my favorite linebackers to watch, being able to have such a major impact as a young guy. You know, he played last year as a freshman, which, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to do there, especially on the defense, especially at the linebacker position. But he's going to be a guy, if he can continue to have performances like this, by the time he's a senior, forget about it. Like, he's going to be up there in tackles all time and games played and, you know, not necessarily pass rusher, you know, but again, it's rare for Mike Backers to be up there in tackles for loss, but expect him to be probably top 5 in tackles when his career is over. And they have a strong tradition at linebacker there, but he should pass a lot of dudes in career statistics if he can continue to, you know, just do what he does, and that's play downhill, lay the wood, and, you know, continue to be a leader for that Navy defense. Navy heads back home next week as they welcome Cornell down to Maryland. Other side of this one, we got Caldwell. Stayed in this one early. Again, it was early, I think after the first quarter, it was 9-6. again, a couple turnovers, special teams, you know, snafus really, really cost them this one in terms of keeping it closer. It seems like every time they were on a drive, something didn't go their way that just inched them a little bit further out of striking distance. But one thing I must say about the Caldwell team, senior quarterback Frank DeMeo is, frankly, one of my 2 favorite quarterbacks to watch in the CSFL. One of my 3 favorite quarterbacks to watch across both leagues. Consistently plays with poise, shows a maturity, you know, at the quarterback position. Excuse me. Just a guy that is a catalyst for his football team, you know. Is he the fastest quarterback in the league? No. Does he have the strongest arm in the league? No, but every game, it's just consistency. It's definitely something that I appreciate from that position. And, you know, for him to do the things that he's done for this team, they really made a change as a program. once he started playing quarterback. They've had quarterbacks in the past who performed, didn't always translate to wins. And of course, some of their other positions, they continued to mature. Of course, they had a Carl Watson a years past, Randy Ettore years past, players like that. But once he started playing quarterback, it's clear there's just been a difference in terms of them being able to play, you know, winning football. And I definitely attribute a lot of that to DeMeo and the things he's been able to do for them at the position. It's just a steady, steady hand, doesn't make a lot of errant throws, you know, very consistent. And again, a couple of drops by some Caldwell guy should have had more yards. So one of my favorite players to watch. He got knocked out of the game for a little bit, but came back the very next drive, I believe, and ultimately, you know, resulted in their touchdowns. He threw for 171 yards, had 19 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. So, you know, he did keep it within striking distance per se, but just a little bit too far with not enough time for Caldwell to come back in this one. They also have a running back who I'm growing to like more and more each week. Freshman running back Devin Turner led the team in rushing yards with 63, also scored a tutty. He's one of the best young running backs in the league. He's definitely one of the best young running backs in the league, one of the best young running backs in sprint football. He's hard runner, fast, can really break in second level when he gets there. And to have a freshman as your lead ball carrier, like the guy you're giving tote the pill, is, you know, something that's a testament to his ability, what he can do. They do have, you know, one or two older guys on the roster, but it's clear he is the featured back, and he's the guy they're going to rock and roll with for years to come. He should be one of the better backs in the league for years to come. Caldwell really found something with young Devin Turner there as a lead ball carrier. The defensive side of the ball, usual suspects for Caldwell. Sophomore linebacker Andrew Coughlin led the team in tackles, as he usually does, with 12. And then the sophomore defensive back Giarno Longobardi had maybe the best game of his career. He had 10 tackles, one tackle for loss, one forced fumble, and one interception. Caldwell just has a ton of impactful defensive backs. Anjuwon Murray picked up a fumble late, ran it back, put Caldwell in scoring distance. That was he set up Frank DeMeo's short touchdown run. They have Taquil Anderson, they have Kyle Reedus, and now along with Longobardi, they just have a bunch of impactful defensive backs. It really makes it hard for offenses, you know, to consistently pass the ball, consistently make plays down the field. Definitely one of the strengths of their team is their secondary. Really good linebackers, really good defensive linemen too, like Michael Lorman, but the strength of that defense is definitely the secondary and should continue to be throughout the rest of the season. Caldwell hits into the bye this week, and then after that, they're going to hit the road to visit Chestnut Hill. Next up, we have our MSFL games, all Saturday slated games. In this one, no nightcaps this week for the MSFL. I think it was 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 5 p.m. So a lot of good afternoon action in the MSFL. First one up, we have Bellarmine versus Quincy. Bellarmine wins this one 12-0. My player of the game is freshman running back / defensive back Brendan Reed. He had 71 yards on the ground, two receptions for 36 yards. Defensively, he had 11 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, one interception, return for a touchdown. Bellarmine continues their hot start. They head into the bye week 3-0. Freshman quarterback Dylan Goff only completed 8 passes, not the most accurate game of his career, but he did throw for 140 yards with one touchdown. He did throw 2 interceptions, but the running game continues to be the saving grace for this Bellarmine offense. Again, Brandon Reed was the team's leading rusher again with his 71 yards, added 37 receiving yards, so had over 100 all-purpose yards for the freshman. Last week, he saved the game with a big, big run to seal it against Fompon. This week, he saved the game by getting an interception at the end of the game as Quincy was looking to drive to put some points on the board. Also led the team in tackles with 11 tackles. Brendan Reed is very quickly becoming one of the best players in sprint football, one of my favorite players to watch in the MSFL. He's either going to kill you as a running back or kill you as a safety. Definitely just an impactful guy. They would not be off to this hot start without him. He's probably, as of right now, their best player, definitely their best offensive player and defensive player. He's 1, 2, or 3. So going to be one of the guys you're going to have to watch for the rest of his career. He's just an incredible, incredible player. And, you know, every time I turn into a Bellarmine game, I'm just waiting for him to do something crazy. It's just a guy who week in, week out does it. Again, they play with a certain edge. They play with a certain toughness. A lot of their best players play both ways. So, again, really hasn't had any detrimental side effects for them yet. You know, last week everyone is healthy is week one. So sure, every team has some players dealing with an ankle, dealing with a back, dealing with a wrist, dealing with an arm. Of course, it's football, but definitely does not show with these Bellarmine cats, man. They go out there week in, week out, lining up, best guys playing both ways, and they just make it happen. Playing, you know, low scoring games too. Obviously, it's a testament to their defense, but offensively, it's not like they're putting up 30, 35 points a week. You know, they're winning games like 21-7, 12-0, 12-6. So playing tightly contested games, but they always find a way to pull it out in their favor. So it's definitely something that, you know, Bellarmine should be proud of as they head into a bye week. On the defensive side of the ball, again, Reed was most electrifying player for them. And, you know, he should continue to be throughout the rest of the season. All the MSFL teams are going to be on the bye week this week. So I'm not going to say that as I go over the last five teams. Just know that every team this week, there's a league-wide bye week for them. Since they only have six teams, typically, you know, CSFL, you play seven games. So they're just going with a bye week for, you know, universal bye week for all the teams in their first inaugural season. Other side of the ball, Quincy, you know, definitely had maybe their most impressive offensive outing of the season, despite not putting up any points. I know that might be sounding like a little bit of a contradiction, but you'll see why. Freshman quarterback Nick Manzo threw for 203 yards. So Quincy has made a change at quarterback from Tyler Klusmeyer, who did line up in the game at receiver, so he was not injured. It appears they're going to be going with Manzo moving forward, and very quickly showed he's, you know, going to be more effective throwing the football. Again, 203 yards is the most yards they've had from a quarterback this season. And he looked good throwing the rock. It wasn't all dummy passes. It wasn't all tunnel screens. Like, he was really slinging the rock. So definitely going to be a guy who should show a lot of potential and maybe some more flashes moving forward. Though his one interception did come late in the game, which ultimately put the game out of reach. But he did look good. He looked really good. Definitely going to be a guy who they should lean on moving forward. And maybe he has won a quarterback job over there at Quincy. Freshman wide receiver Ethan Hedegas led the team with 76 receiving yards on four interceptions. And freshman wide receiver Camden Pye continues to be a reliable target. He had nine receptions for 49 yards. I think he had seven or eight receptions either the first game or the second game. And this is a nine reception game. I think he leads the league in, I think he leads the MSFL in receptions. So definitely proving to be a reliable target. Their most effective and consistent offensive player. The running game really hasn't been getting going. They've had a lot of guys toting the rock, but they haven't really hit there yet. I think Klusmeyer has been their most effective runner, and that's when he was at quarterback. So Camden Pye is probably their most effective and consistent offensive player at this point. Defensively, sophomore linebacker Ray Lingard had a day. He had 10 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. A lot of records, a lot of game records set this week. You know, we had Tota doing what he did earlier in this game. Lingard, his 5 tackles for loss ties him for the 4th most in a game in spring football history. This also will put him at the most in a game in MSFL history. So a lot of records are going to be set in the MSFL, you know, in terms of game highs. And then obviously it's after a 4-year career from a lot of these guys, we'll have a lot of set in stone benchmarks for career, you know, all-time records. But his 5 tackles for loss is, you know, up there already in terms of spring football. So that's definitely something to positive to take away from this game, you know, in terms of their defense, in terms of his individual play. So definitely, you know, despite not putting up any points, Quincy played a good football game. They got to put it together. They got to put a consistent game together and, you know, hold some teams out. You know, they won their first game, struggled scoring the ball a little bit, but there's some good football players on this football team, and I expect them to bounce back, you know, after the bye week. Heading to our next game, Chemulet College of St. Joseph, CCSJ versus FAPA. CCSJ wins this one 13-6 in overtime. Another overtime game in the MSFL. This one was also an instant classic, a nail biter, very, very heavy defensive game. Lots of guys flying around on both sides for both teams. My player of the game is freshman running back Jonathan Flemings. He finished the game with 71 rushing yards with one touchdown. CCSJ, you know, had to go to overtime to win this one. Passing game was not clicking, you know, whatsoever. Freshman quarterback Blaze Canoe only threw for 57 yards. Passing game really hasn't been there. It hasn't been the name of the game for CCSJ through three games this season. You know, Blaze Canoe has thrown some pretty passes, has shown he can be a decent enough runner. You know, not to the extent that, you know, a Cassid Raymond might be or a Brendan Landry might be, who we'll get into later. But he definitely can tote the rock when necessary. But passing the ball definitely has not been the strong suit of this offense. They're definitely a run-first, run-heavy team. And that showed its head again with Jonathan Flemings. His touchdown came in overtime to ultimately put the game out of reach and win it for CCSJ. Flemings is one of the best young stars in the league. Hard runner, gets downhill, but has quickness and speed to run on the outside. Definitely a guy who looks like he's hard to tackle. Well-built, stout runner. And he's one of the better players in the MSFL this year and one of the better running backs, you know, across both leagues. Definitely a guy who's fun to watch whenever you turn on a CCSJ game. On the defensive side of the ball, the secondary really is what you want to write home about in this one, forcing three interceptions and I believe five turnovers in total. I think they forced two fumbles as well. Freshman defensive back Isaac Hedgewood, freshman linebacker Alex Delianchi, and freshman defensive back Josh Tajita all had an interception on the night. I think Hedgewood was the only one who returned it a little bit, but still three interceptions. I think they forced two fumbles. Again, defensive game for both teams in this one. Lots of good young defensive players, and Hedgewood slowly becoming one of the better defensive backs in the MSFL and spring football as a whole. So definitely a guy you should watch for them as he continues to mature and improve. Bye week for all the MSFL teams next week. FAPON, again, is still looking for their first win of the season, but they are not playing bad football. Like, they aren't getting blown out. They just really haven't put it together on offense. That's where they're struggling the most. Freshman quarterback Dylan Scruggs threw 443 yards with a touchdown, but he threw three interceptions, and he also fumbled the ball twice. So, again, just turnovers. And with so many guys, with Klusmeyer now no longer starting for the time being for Quincy, it's all freshman quarterbacks. So that's what you're going to get. Like, you're going to get lots of highs, lots of lows. It's a roller coaster experience with the freshman quarterback. You could just ask some of the CSFL teams who've had starting quarterbacks be freshmen in the past. Some of them do now. So it's going to be a roller coaster experience. You know, that's just the name of the game with so many young guys starting, you know, under center. But Scruggs is you know, showing he can throw the rock. Definitely a strong arm. Probably one of the stronger arms I've seen across both leagues so far this year. It's just accuracy and, you know, consistency are going to be the name of the game for FAPON as they head into the bye week looking to improve. Lone touchdown on the day was thrown to freshman wide receiver Jalen Pilati. He had three receptions for 67 yards with that one touchdown. Again, defensively are really where the stars came out the ball for both teams. Great job on both sides. Freshman safety Jordan Flowers led the team with six tackles. And freshman defensive lineman Isaiah Sanders, who's been one of the standout defensive linemen early in the season, he added five tackles as well. I think he had a tackle for loss as well. So, again, lots of names to know, names to remember and for both of these teams. And it was just a nail-biter all night. One-score game. The whole entire game. So good game for both teams, you know, as they get a break and they look to regroup. Last game of the Saturday night was St. Mary of the Woods College SMWC versus Midway. This was the marquee game of the week. St. Mary of the Woods College won this one 48-22. My player of the game is freshman quarterback Brendan Landry. Another record-setting day from a young guy. 420 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 38 rushing yards with 2 rushing touchdowns. St. Mary of the Woods College got out to an early lead and did not look back. Brendan Landry had a record-setting day. His 420 passing yards are the second most passing yards in a game in Sprint football history. He's only 9 yards away from breaking the record, which is held by Penn grad and newly inducted CSFL Hub Hall of Famer Todd Bustler, who had 429 yards in one game. So for this to be his third game in his career to set a record, which is, you know, the most passing yards in MSFL history in the game, obviously, but to be the second most passing yards in a Sprint football game, period, is incredibly impressive. Landry is one of the best young stars in the league. And again, when a league full of freshman quarterbacks, he's gotten out to a hot start, is definitely the best one so far in to all of their young careers. And then add 2 rushing touchdowns as well. 6 total touchdowns for the freshman quarterback is just, again, to remember for all parties involved, the coaches, himself, his teammates, just incredible day. And, you know, definitely something to show that these players are, you know, going to be Hall of Fame players. Like, it, despite everyone being young freshmen, sophomores, for the most part, it's impressive football. And you just got to respect and appreciate some of the performances from some of these guys so far in this year, that it's only going to go up from here for a lot of these teams, a lot of these players. And again, third game, third start ever, throwing 420 yards, no big deal. You know, just throwing 4 touchdowns, add 2 rushing touchdowns, 6 total touchdowns in a game. Like, there are some quarterbacks who are in the Hall of Fame or going to be in the Hall of Fame who've never thrown like 400 yards. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's ridiculous in like an oppressive sense. Like, and they have 6 total touchdowns. Again, like, off the top of my head, I can think of like Eddie Jenkins, Javier Susatita, Andrew Paolini did it before. I think Sid maybe has 6, like a 3-3 or a 2-4 or a 4-2. That's about it. Like, that is not common at all. That is some next level stuff. So definitely big ups to him and the performance that he put on for his team to get the win. Freshman running back Patrick Pira got things going again. He finished the game with 97 rushing yards and a touchdown. Another young running back, man, continues to impress. Definitely got something there. Has definitely shown he could be an effective pass catcher too. I think the first game of the season, he had a lot of receiving yards. So he's going to be a guy who continue to be, you know, one of the main points, you know, one of the drivers of the bus for the SMWC offense. 3 receivers had, you know, with when you have a quarterback throw for 420 yards, someone got to kiss the rock, right? Freshman wide receiver Jaheim Joseph had a career day, record-setting day. He had 175 yards on 6 receptions with 3 touchdowns. Joseph's 175 receiving yards are good for 11th most in Sprint football history. So another guy letting it be known that the impact that he's going to have is going to be, you know, one of an all-time great, you know. Yeah, some guys who are just dudes, you know, might have a record-setting day randomly. Usually see it more on offense, like, you know, a dude who's just out there might have a whole bunch of tackles or, like, a random 4 tackle for loss or multi-sack game. But it's hard to do that as a wide receiver. Like, you don't get, like, Joe Schmoes just going for, like, $175. Like, that's crazy. So he's definitely going to be one of the more impressive wide receivers for the rest of the season. Definitely look for Landry to continue to find him as they continue to forge their legacy. And again, 11th most receiving yards in the game in football history as a freshman, big deal. And his 3 touchdown ties him for 3rd most in a game in Sprint football history. Now, there's a whole bunch of guys with 3 touchdowns. He's tied with like 4 or 5 other guys, but still very, very impressive for the freshman wide receiver. Freshman wide receiver Devern Johnson had 2 receptions for 117 yards and a touchdown. And freshman wide receiver Corbin Cleveland had 5 receptions for 88 yards. So they almost had 3 100-yard receivers in a game. That's nuts. That's awesome. Definitely a testament to that offense and the talent they have at quarterback and wide receiver. Defensively, freshman linebacker Jake Skinner was an anchor for the – I don't even know how to say They're the Palmore. I'm going to just keep saying SMWC. I struggle with saying their team name. He had 9 tackles, half a tackle for loss, and half a sack with 1 interception. Freshman defensive back Monty May also had an impact in the secondary. He had 4 tackles with 1 interception. Go to the other side of the ball, Midway, you know, still looking for their identity as well. They're looking for their first win of the season. Freshman quarterback Vernon Duncan came in to relieve DJ Palmer. Duncan appeared to get the offense rolling a little bit more. Quarterback finished with 163 yards, 1 touchdown. Freshman wide receiver Jashawn Lee and freshman wide receiver Panther Alphonse continue to show that they can be quite explosive. They combined for 7 receptions, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Alphonse is definitely a guy for the Midway offense who's been consistent since Jump Street. Like, he's probably their best receiver. And he continue every week he's doing something for them to he's every week he's doing something to put them in a position to win the game. Ultimately, you know, team isn't pulling it out, but he's one of the better young receivers in the league, despite, you know, what the record might say. Definitely a guy you gotta watch in Alphonse, and definitely a guy I'll be keeping my eye on as he continues to develop and Midway continues to, you know, improve throughout the season. Freshman linebacker Jonah Kyle led the team with 10 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 forced fumble. And freshman defensive back linebacker Luke Guerrero had probably the best game in his young career. He had 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. That's it for our Week 3 slate of games. A lot of records being set. A lot of impressive football over the weekend, despite some bad weather in some of the games. Didn't really slow down offenses too much. Had a really good time watching all of these games. Next week, it'll just be CSFL action with the MSFL being on a bye week. So my MSFL guys, coaches, players, like, definitely encourage you to watch some CSFL ball since you had the time. The free time, you won't be playing yourself. So definitely check it out. A lot of good games next week. Real good football coming up down the barrel as we reach really the halfway point in the league. Things are starting to settle in. You're starting to see the natural hierarchy of the team. So, you know, looking to finish the season out strong, second half of the season, and we're going to continue to rock and roll and looking forward to, you know, playoffs coming around, you know, not too far into the future. So I'm your host as always, Kyle. Thank you for joining me on the CSFL Hub podcast. Catch you guys next time. Peace.